the bone. And no one says you're better off alone.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where everyone has a 3DS. And I don't fucking have one.
Get one.
Look at you guys.
You do have. Oh, no, you did get rid of your 3DS.
Sitting there with your 3DSs out. I don't need Pokemon Go. I'll play the original Pokemon. Also, I have a huge cock. I'm Lindsay Wolfgang. I don't even have a cock, and it's bigger than yours.
In the words of my friend Stacy, would you like to touch my invisible penis?
Yes.
I don't know.
Except that she'd say it in Spanish, and I don't remember how to say that.
No más pantalones.
No, that's you're not wearing pants.
Cody, yes. If you know
I think
how to
that
say
actually
that.
Says, I think you just said no more pants.
Because no más is no more.
No más pantalones.
No más pantalones.
You are out of pants.
No pants for you.
No más pants. Well, that's off to a great start.
It is Thursday.
We were just talking about the viewership of the show and our desire
by
to
the second.
Increase it. And
ever since I've been on the show, the listener has just been...
Ever since we've added Ethan to the show, the listeners have gone down. We used to get 150 per show, and now we're lucky if we get 69.
Huh.
He doesn't even know.
Okay. I was wondering if somebody's going to pick that up. Right now, Hunter and the gang are salivating. That's a goddamn sex number. He doesn't even know it.
Holy shit.
Dalton was losing his shit, just like he's losing his job.
Oh no! Also, Dalton's a girl.
Hunter's a Pidgey. Also, Jesse's a Pidgey.
I'm a Pidgey.
Everybody's a Pidgey. Hi.
I'm tripping on Pidgeys. They attacked me earlier. So many Pidgeys.
My original intro was going to be, from downtown, whatever that I say normally. I was say, where we've got so many Pidgeys, I've caught like 69 Pidgeys today.
That's a goddamn sex number.
Yeah, I was going to see if anybody would pick up on that, but they didn't. Hey, 2 minutes in. Let's
do
some introductions.
My DS just congratulated me.
It's Podzilla 1985. It's Tanner Thursday, which will soon be renamed to Bucket Day.
Bucket Day!
Oh, no!
Every Thursday will be Bucket Day from this day forward.
Oh, no.
Because, see, Tanner was here earlier.
He was.
And I thought he was going to stay for the show.
We went walking earlier. I think the walk tuckered him out.
He had so much sweat on his shirt.
He's a big guy.
I mean, I did too. I'm not gonna pull that card. Everybody was, even Mandy was soaked.
And she's little.
She is tiny because the heat index was over 100 today.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And we decided
hot.
To go walking downtown.
Smart move.
I mean, like
right?
I wouldn't want to because I get winded whenever I open up the fridge too hard.
I walked down Broadway today with Allie. We were trying to catch a Pikachu, and I was dressed in all black.
Good job.
Which is just never smart.
Were you trying to do your Team Rocket impersonation?
No.
Maybe you should have.
I don't have a witty joke for that. Just no. Welcome to Tanner Thursday. Ethan, he's showing you something there. His E-peen's bigger. Deal with it.
Why is it different colors?
All right, so for you guys that are out there listening and wondering what the fuck we're talking about, these three are looking at something on the 3DS that shows states or countries. I don't know.
Regions.
What is the point of it?
It's for street passes on how many different places you've met people from or that you've gotten street passes from. And mine congratulated me because I've got 30 different ones.
Well, I met people right here in the good old United States of America.
I've also met people here in the good old U.S. I'm actually only missing from the U.S. of A 6 states that I haven't met people from.
I'm missing a lot more than
so
that.
So if you would like to help Jesse, email him.
Does anybody in the Dakotas play with a 3DS? Because I somehow have avoided them.
North Dakota.
And South Dakota.
East Dakota.
West Dakota.
South Dakota.
Southwest, East.
South Virginia.
West Virginia.
North, South, East, and West. Never eat soggy waffles.
All right, so it's 4 minutes in. Let me at least tell everyone who's here. For the love of Christ.
They haven't figured it out yet?
No, because we haven't done a show.
Okay.
We haven't done a show together in like 2 weeks. So let me introduce you from the left over. Of course, I am Shannon Young, the reluctant host of Podzilla 1985, soon to be replaced by a tombstone.
No!
Next to me is Ethan Craig Miles.
Hi.
Beloved intern of Podzilla 1985.
I will gladly bear that title.
Soon to be replaced by a tombstone.
Correct.
Down at the end, Jesse Kimball in his Team Rocket shirt.
Hello.
From Nerd Up. Hello. And then, not to be replaced by a tombstone, soon to be replaced by a sex robot.
Huh.
Huh.
And to his right, Lindsay Wolfgang, soon to be replaced...
by a Pidgey.
I was going to say, soon to be replaced by the blow-up doll from the movie Airplane.
Or that.
Can it be used as a raft?
Oh, it does have float. She does have flotation devices, so.
Oh my god, dear lord! What were we going to talk about again?
I have a whole bunch of things we were going to talk about, and we will talk about. But let's start off by just changing some mic volumes real quick because Ethan's surprisingly loud, which is good because usually you're surprisingly low. He is excited. He's excited to be back on the show for some reason. Ghostbusters.
Goat butters.
Ghostbusters.
Jesse, you talked about Ghostbusters on Sunday, right?
Very briefly.
That's good because I wanted to do a show dedicated to it. Now, we're not going to do a full show dedicated to it because I thought Tanner and Asa were going to be here. So I thought it was going to be, you know, like an old crew with Tanner and Asa here. But they left early. They had things to do. So I wasn't going to talk about Ghostbusters in front of them because they haven't seen it. But all four of us have seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Some of us have seen it twice. And it's thinking about a third time this weekend. That'd be me. No, you've only seen it once. So you can't see it three times unless you see it two more times. And if you see it two more times and I see it with you, then I've seen it four times.
I'm just saying I want to see it again.
You will not beat Shane.
I would also like to see it again.
Nobody will beat
Shane. It was pretty good.
It was better the second time.
I'm actually going to go see it as a matinee on Saturday with family.
I think that's a great idea because I thought it was a great movie. But there are other things I want to talk about tonight, but we'll start with Ghostbusters. Jesse, I want to talk to you specifically about the Republic convention going on right now.
Oh, boy.
That's not Ghostbusters.
The Onion has been having a field day making video parodies of it.
Everybody's been having a field day.
I laughed my butt off at Colbert's stuff.
Oh, God. The Hungry for Power games?
The Power Hungry games or whatever.
Oh, my God. That was glorious.
I died. It was so great.
And then you've got, like, Melania Trump. Like,
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
People keep a constant goddamn voice.
To be fair, I got closer to the mic. I'm sorry.
Yes.
She got excited.
What's one of the first rules we learned in mic school, Jesse?
Sit still.
You stay in one spot when you're recording.
I sit like, bam. I am this for the next hour.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Don't mean to be so critical, but when I look over here and it looks like, you know, Hunter standing next to Tanner on the on the meter, it's a little discouraging about how this audio quality is going to be.
I mean, awesome. I had the same thing, like, with Nerd Up. I had, JR on the show.
Shout out to JR.
And, like, he did a fine job, except I kept looking down and, you know, he would follow up me or Asa and it would look like the same thing.
Yeah.
Especially, like, it would start out okay and then it would just kind of dwindle on down to almost nothing.
Let me, for all you guys out there thinking, well, podcasts are easy. You just put a mic down and you start talking, right? It's not that easy. You've got mic levels you have to do. You have to do sound checks. You have to do noise removal. There are so many things that go into this. So
unless you just want it to sound like you're sitting in your car recording something,
right.
We don't want to do. We take pride in how we do things here because you remember how it started, Jesse.
Oh yeah.
The audio quality of those first 20, 25 shows. Up until past 50, because I remember the 50th episode sounded terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just got awful.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I put a lot of time, effort, research, and money into bringing a quality-sounding audio podcast.
Whose money? The fans' money. Thanks to your support at Patreon, we have these wonderful mics, these mic stands.
That are awesome.
Mic cables, all these things that you guys pay for. Thank you so much. It's how we provide mid-grade to low-tier quality content.
To be completely fair, I listen to these other podcasts that are getting, you know, thousands and thousands of views per day.
Yeah.
And their audio quality, I don't think, is on par with ours.
I don't think so either. And I also think we're funnier and wittier sometimes.
I think our dicks are bigger.
Huge.
Like, skyrocketing.
And see, this is why we don't have thousands of people.
I disagree. I disagree.
You gotta let them believe that their penis is bigger.
Exactly. Oh, right. We don't want to insult the penis size of our listeners.
We don't have very many listeners in Asia.
No. Well, no.
Why?
I'm not getting that far-fetched anytime soon.
I get it. Pokemon.
Yeah. You can hatch a far-fetched.
I keep hatching meows.
No shit. My first, and by the way, if you're not used to the Thursday show, we curse.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
My friend Andrew. He has hatched 2 10-kilometer eggs now.
Yeah.
Both of them turned into Eevees.
My first egg,
which are
Pidgey.
Abundant here in southeastern Missouri.
Oh, my God. This is a terrible
I was tripping
place.
Over Eevees today.
If you really want to have a LARF, go to use PokeVision and look at the big cities.
Oh, you'll cry.
I believe he mouth typoed laugh.
LARF. You know, Pinky and the Brain. LARF, NARF.
Snarf.
NARF. That's pretty good. But we're not going to talk about Pokemon.
Okay.
This is not Pokemon Day.
I'm sorry, Lindsay.
It is.
Lindsay's here, so Pokemon's going to be
talking
about.
But you don't want to talk about Beware?
Oh, we're going to talk about that on Sunday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what we don't talk about on Nerd Up?
What's that?
The Republican National Committee or Convention or whatever.
Convention.
I don't know it anymore.
Yeah.
With its flag-burning goodness.
That's been going on all week, and boy, what a shit show that is. If you've never been afraid for America's future, watch it.
I've had to stop, honestly. Like, I haven't been really keeping up with it. I know, like, Colbert's thing was particularly funny. I know that Cruz decided to just
went into business for himself.
Yeah, he just outright said, like, I'm not endorsing Trump.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because, Asa, we were sitting here earlier and we were talking about it, and he said, you know, for the one good thing that Ted Cruz did doesn't make up for all the terrible things he did. And, you know, he has a point, because my first instinct when I saw this, and for those of you that don't know, basically what we're talking about is Ted Cruz at the podium last night. He was supposed to endorse Trump. They all signed agreements at the GOP when they were doing the primaries or whatever.
Yeah.
They all signed an agreement saying that they would support whoever won.
Yeah.
And Ted Cruz went on stage and did not endorse Donald Trump. He didn't outright, like, cuss him out, but he said some very choice words, like, vote with your conscience this November. He got booed off stage. I mean, it got bad. Here's Ted Cruz that did this. And afterwards, today, he was talking to some, doing a rally, and he mentioned that he would never endorse or support someone that attacked his family personally. So my first instinct was to applaud the man and say, well, that's great.
Lying Ted.
Yeah, lying scumbag Ted. But, you know, you really can't. I can't applaud him too much, because this, as much as my heart wants to believe that this was I'm standing up for my family, it's not. It's a calculated move on the part of Ted Cruz. What Ted Cruz is doing is, if Donald Trump loses the election, which God willing he will,
mm-hmm.
then Ted Cruz is the only Republican who did not endorse Donald Trump.
Yep.
So in 2020, when the next presidential election comes up, Ted Cruz can run on that and say, I didn't support him. I was the only one that didn't. Now, if Donald Trump wins, then Ted Cruz is gonna get a very luxurious spot right next to Jimmy Hoffa.
See, I think that's actually, I think you got it reversed. Because if Donald Trump loses, the RNC or the GOP could actually blame. Honestly, he's probably going to get excommunicated from the GOP. Like, they're not going to support him anymore because, like,
I don't see why they would.
I mean, that's the idea of the primary. Is like, whenever you join or align yourself with a party, once the primary has chosen their candidate, all the candidates, like, the idea is the entire Republican Party puts their full weight, power, money, everything behind one candidate.
Because they're the one that is going to go for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
Yeah. Of the United States.
And I mean, that's the same reason Bernie supported Hillary, because he's part of the Democratic Party and he wants his party to win. And like, his party is like, that's the same thing you were talking about. Like, whenever they had to sign the agreements, that's the deal. That's part of being part of the party. He has to endorse their party's candidate.
Once the infighting's over, you support your party line.
Exactly. And, because he's not, he could actually get in a lot of trouble with the GOP. They could cut funding. They could do all sorts of things to Ted Cruz for that. And if Donald Trump wins and gets impeached a week later, God willing, then Ted Cruz could look good, because he's like, I didn't know. Like, I told you from the beginning. Like, now you all are seeing. I told you. Told you so.
So,
but if Donald Trump doesn't get elected, then everybody could blame Ted Cruz. Like, you know, you lost us valuable votes by saying that he doesn't have your endorsement.
So you're advocating the assassination of Donald Trump?
Always and forever. But that's beside the point entirely.
Uh-oh.
No, I
put him in a lineup next to Ethan's girlfriend. No.
No.
No, 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 no,
no,
no.
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 No. No, we're not going there.
No.
Okay, so Donald Trump. No, what? I don't like him.
No.
The fact that he has even a snowball's chance in hell at winning is terrifying to me.
I think that's why the GOP won't really go against Cruz as bad, is because I don't think any of them want to support Trump either. In fact, I know they don't.
They don't.
Nobody wants to support Trump, except for a select few. Now, if you're concerned about Ted Cruz not endorsing Donald Trump, don't worry. He got some great endorsements at the RNC. Scott Baio. You may remember from Charles in Charge.
I did not even recognize him when I saw him on there.
He looks like a gelatinous fish at this point.
He looks like the blobfish?
He does. He's just an old Republican now.
So a jellyfish?
No, they're different. Yeah. You ever see the old man fish? It looks like an old man.
Well, all the wrinkles?
Yeah. That's him. He looked old. That's the joke. Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He threw out his support. I could go on.
Yeah, no.
Ben Carson.
The KKK.
Well, they weren't on stage at least. Although Laura Ingraham did do the Nazi salute.
I saw that.
Holy shit.
And didn't he return it?
I don't know, because if you watch the GIF that's going around, the video that's going around is of Ethan showing you blobfish, by the way.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, Laura Ingraham. So she's on stage and she does this. I'm doing a Nazi, so you guys can see. She does like a Nazi salute and then kind of waves like she just remembered she's not in Germany.
Oh, I'm not at the rally.
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
We're not all wearing white cloaks.
This whole RNC thing has been embarrassing for the Republican Party. This has just been terrible. The tweet that went out by Paul Ryan or Instagram or whatever, where he took a picture of all the interns. Mm-hmm. And it was like, where's Waldo for black people? Find the black guy. You can't do it. He's not there.
It's an impossible puzzle.
It's a 5,000 piece puzzle.
Oh my goodness.
It's a 5,000 piece puzzle of a blue sky.
Or blue uniforms.
Never
you gotta find the one black guy who's getting shot at by them.
Oh no.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, oh,
I got a story. No, I got a story about that here in a little bit too.
Is the one that I think it is?
Probably.
I mean, it's been a while since we've done a Thursday show, so we haven't really been able to talk to about a whole lot of that.
We haven't had some hot topics lately.
That's true. Ghostbusters.
Thinking maybe
Thursday.
We should switch this over to Topical Thursday from Tanner Thursday.
I like Topical Thursday.
You know, when Tanner's not here, we'll do Topical. Is that
a
train wreck?
Topical train wrecks.
No, we have to retire train wrecks. He's no longer with us.
But they happen.
Well, yeah, train wrecks happen.
We just got to try to make
not
them
as
not
often
happen.
As shootings, though.
Yeah, involving guns.
Shootings
really
Thursday
true.
Doesn't sound the same.
Shooting Saturdays.
Nope.
But Saturday.
Let's just move past it.
Yep.
Back to the RNC. The RNC has been just a shit show.
Yeah.
It really has been. Like, well, the primaries were a shit show. The entire thing. Okay. This is the first time in history that any person at a Republican debate has referenced the size of his penis. They had an actual dick measuring contest.
What?
In a Republican debate.
What?
You're joking with
me. Well, not a legitimate.
They didn't
no
pull
one
out their dicks.
To be fair, someone also referenced My Little Pony.
That was after. That was Melania, after Melania Trump.
He will never give you
Melania,
up.
I think,
and
isn't
he
it?
Will never let you down.
That was Melania. What did you say?
Melania, isn't it?
I don't know if it's Melania or Melania.
I think wife number three. That's all that matters.
Oh, right. You're giving him credit if you think that's wife number three.
Nah.
I think that's like the 69 wife.
I think that's a sex number.
Yeah, it's got to be a running joke.
I think that is his third wife. Certainly had more mistresses.
All foreign.
He's rich.
All foreign.
Did you see that? And I haven't actually confirmed this, so grain of salt or whatever you want
to
call it.
Welcome to Fox News.
Right. Apparently the guy that ghost wrote The Art of the Deal came out and said that like all of it was lies. Like he's a fraud. Also, the whole thing about like the him paying off his debts. Did you hear about that?
No.
I
know he's filed bankruptcy.
Well, somebody tried to
like
say
six
that
times. He's filed bankruptcy more times than Hastings.
Somebody tried to say he does pay all of his debts. And, you know, it was a contractor, I guess, he hired to say that. And, they did, like, USA Today did extensive research on it, and he found so many loopholes and everything else. Like, he's not paid, like, it's a ridiculous percentage. It's over 50% of his debts he hasn't paid. Like that, he's just found a way out of.
That doesn't surprise me because Donald Trump, I thought about this the other day. Donald Trump is the only candidate I can ever remember that has lied every time he's talked and has still never lost supporters. Has lied every time he's talked. If you've ever seen a Donald Trump rally, if you've seen him debate, if you've seen him speak, he's lied at some point or made some wild accusation. He said that I'm trying to remember if it was Ted Cruz. I believe he said Ted Cruz's dad. He insinuated Ted Cruz's dad has something to do with the Kennedy assassination.
Yes.
What?
He said
that's
that.
True.
Yeah, and the problem is, like, there were at least 1,000 people that bought it.
Yeah.
And Trump won their support for life.
That's crazy. Donald Trump is, I don't know a single Republican that likes him. No, that's a lie. I know a couple Republicans
I know,
that like him.
Yeah, I know more than I should.
And it's horribly, horribly depressing. This whole thing is just, if Trump wins the election, that's how democracy dies, right there.
No, that's the end of this country. Like, It's bad. Well, okay. It's probably not going to be the end of the country.
I mean,
it's the end of
nothing's going to get done.
It's the beginning chapter of the end.
No, what's going to happen is that we're going to, the United States is going to lose what little international respect it has.
Yeah.
Like,
beginning of World War III.
Any respect that, you know, any country in Europe has for us will immediately be gone the moment Trump takes office.
Until someone shoots him.
And then they'll have respect for that one individual, but
I would.
They will still completely lose respect for the United States. Like, how could, you know, a country put that kind of individual at its head?
Because a lot of people don't vote.
They're voting that's now. True.
That's the problem.
For Donald Trump.
Yeah, these people are going to
I said it today.
Up their cars. They're going
cars.
To clean their tooth.
There you go.
And clean their tooth.
And they're going to
step toe their
it's summer
step,
teeth.
And they're going to step toe all the
way
down to
democracy.
The pole.
I was talking to Aaron Picard about this today, and I thought, you know, Donald Trump really is the evil alternate world Obama. He's a guy that all the people that came out to vote for Obama that normally didn't vote because he was hip, he was young, he was black. He was black. Now he's more gray because he's.
That happens in 8 years.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he, joke. In 8 years, he aged 40 years, unfortunately. Because that's what the presidency will do to you.
Well, he actually looks appropriate for his age. Like, you got to think, like, what did you look like 8 years ago?
I can't remember what I looked like 8 minutes ago. I have a bad memory. But I'll tell you
mirrors.
I'll tell you what it was. Bloated and depressed.
I mean, I know I looked.
So what's the difference?
I looked a whole lot different 8 years
oh, yeah.
ago.
I actually looked.
Lindsay looked different 8 years ago.
Ethan probably
looked a lot different 8 years ago.
I
looked
fairly similar.
Though.
You know what Allie looked like 8 years ago? She was a fetus.
That's a bit extreme.
No, she's at least.
She's not listening.
She's at
matter.
Least 18. At least.
Well, she was a 10-year-old.
Anyway, I just wanted to make a fetus joke. We don't do enough fetus jokes here.
Oh, I think we do plenty. That one. That one is plenty.
What's red and slimy and crawls up your leg?
Please
no.
Okay, anyway.
Nope,
Ethan. Nope. We're moving on.
Shiny Grimer.
Yes.
I don't know what color is shiny.
I don't think Grimer is red when it's shiny.
Nope.
What color is it
not.
When it's shiny?
I don't know. I think
but
it's just
red.
Another shade of purple.
Anyway.
Pidgey.
Where?
Everywhere.
It's tripping on him.
Jesse's now rubbing his eyes, thinking, oh, I could have done so many other things than this show.
Could have been home. Playing Overwatch.
Not doing anything.
Playing Overwatch, new character that released today on console.
Not listening to the banter of three idiots.
Oh, no, I love you guys.
Hello.
I love how we didn't argue the fact that we were idiots.
But anyway, we can move back here.
Please do.
Reel it back.
I don't know what else we can really say about the RNC. Like, it's just been awful. Like, the party is a joke right now.
It is. And as we record this right now, Donald Trump is giving his acceptance speech for the nomination. So congratulations to Donald Trump and our condolences to the rest of the United States of America.
I heard the intro to his speech. It went something along the lines of 47 years ago.
Plagiarism.
Which I guess I think we mentioned it briefly, the whole Melania Trump completely jacking.
She ripped off a couple pieces of Michelle Obama's speech from 8 years ago.
And Twilight Sparkle.
And Twilight Sparkle said the same thing, stupid. Also,
Twilight Sparkle kid, president.
So yeah, so here's the guy from the Republican Party who's trying to justify the Trump speech, and he basically says, you can't get mad at her for saying this. You know who else said it? Kid Rock, John Legend, Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah.
Can you really expect much from the same guys that got Scott Baio to be one of their speakers?
I don't even know who that is.
Did you ever watch Charles in Charge?
No.
Did you ever watch Happy Days?
Ethan's a babby.
He was also in Cursed as Scott Baio.
That's himself.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it's a bad movie.
No, he played a character called Scott Baio.
That'd be even worse.
He was a super hot
loosely
scientist
based on himself
in a mesh tank top
with the nose of a dog.
He smells bullshit, and he led him right to the Republican Party.
So, Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ghostbusters.
We should probably mention, like, in every show that It's Always Sunny is required viewing.
It is.
Seriously.
You know what? There's a list of things I think we should make of. If you want to be a fan of our show, here's a list of things you must have some experience with. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. King of the Hill.
Yes.
The Simpsons.
Correct.
Not so much for me or Lindsay, but for the rest of the gang, Rick and Morty.
Affirmative.
Well, okay, to be fair, the one thing that we reference more than anything else in every show is It's Always Sunny.
Wubba dub dub.
Shut your mouth.
Like,
whore.
I talk about Rick and Morty, like, you know, whenever, you know, season 3 gets an official date, I'll talk about it, that kind of thing. But
we quote It's Always Sunny nonstop.
Exactly. Every Seriously. Episode, there's at least one It's Always Sunny quote.
And it's that good.
It is. It's a wonderful
that
show.
That good. Before we move on to Ghostbusters, Ethan, you mentioned, the cop thing. So let's talk about that for a second. Jesse, did you hear about the newest cop shooting?
Which one?
Let me tell you this story. Let's not spend a long, we're already at 30 minutes. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this, but let me just set the stage for you. There is an autistic patient who has, is having an episode. So he's in the street with a toy train, I think, or a toy car.
A toy truck.
They call the police and say, I think there's a guy out there with a gun. Because everything is a gun. And why wouldn't it be when we're taught to carry guns all the time? So the cops go, they see the guy sitting there on the corner. There's a black guy with him. The black guy lays down on the ground with his arms out like this and says, I am a doctor at this facility. And he is. He's a doctor at this facility. He's trying to calm his patient down. There's no gun. It's a toy truck. They talk, and then the cop shoots him.
What?
Oh, shoots the guy that's laying on the ground with his arms out. Did not die, thank God. I think he got shot in the leg or the side.
Still.
The guy said, I asked the cop, why did you shoot me? And the cop replied, I don't know.
You shot a medical professional.
Who was just laying on the ground with his arms out.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
That's a whole new level.
Okay, did you hear that? I think it's... Oh, God, I want to say it's North Carolina. They're making videos from body cams not public anymore. Like, it's now part of just, like, police personnel files. It's not public record.
That's terrible.
I think it's North Carolina. I could be wrong about that. But I read about that. It was a little bit after the... Did we talk about the body cam shooting where... Or not shooting... Just the body cam harassment in, I think it was North Carolina. Basically, a cop walks up to this kid that's sitting in a car, like in front of his house, where I guess a suspect lived.
Of course.
And this kid, the cop claimed.
He matched the suspect.
Matched him.
Of
yeah,
course.
Matched the suspect.
Yes.
So, and the kid had just gotten, he was a one-time offender for, I think he had, like, it was drug possession. So it was nonviolent crime. Like, he just gotten back from visiting with his parole officer. And the cop said, like, he had a warrant for his arrest. And the guy was just like, I just got back from talking with my probation officer. How could I have a warrant? Like, he would have told me. And the cop just said, like, basically the cop just kept harassing him about it. Like, you need to get out of the car. And the guy kept asking, what did I do? What did I do? Like, what? Let me see the warrant, etc. And the cop even, I guess it's important to note, at the very beginning of it, the cop asked the guy what his name was. Kid said Patrick, I think was his name. And the guy they were looking for was some dude by the name of Paul or Steven or something like that.
Close enough.
Close enough. So what ended up happening, the guy got tased within a minute, by the way. Like, this happened real fast. The guy ended up getting tased twice. And they finally, like, got him down, got him in handcuffs, pulled out his wallet and checked his ID and saw it was the wrong guy. And then as they're letting him go, the cop kept swearing up and down. And the whole thing is on body cam, by the way. The cop kept swearing up and down. I asked him for his ID and he wouldn't give it to me. Like, that, I mean, that's on him. And you can see the whole thing from beginning to end. Not once did the cop ask for the guy's ID.
Also, make a mention about the guy I was speaking about earlier. After they shot him, they handcuffed him. They put him face down as he's bleeding and handcuffed him and took him away.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Why is this happening?
We try so hard to give police the benefit of the doubt, and absolutely would we never advocate violence against the police like we do against Donald Trump. But things like this keep happening, and it's ridiculous. How is this the thing? How are we not training our police officers better? I don't even think it's racist anymore. Like, it's not even racist per se. It still is, but it doesn't have to be. Now it's just bad cops. It's just cops with overblown senses of ego, inflated egos that are going out there and... We always say most of them do their job correctly, and that's absolutely true. It is. Most police officers, even if I get a little annoyed by getting stopped occasionally, I know I haven't done anything wrong. I cooperate. They let me go. White privilege or not, that's the way it goes. Most police officers do their job just fine. But if there is even a percentage of them that aren't good, that percentage needs to be weeded out.
Right. Because
these are the people that protect us.
Like, there needs
just
to
like
be...
we would never elect an official that wouldn't be good for this country.
Clearly not. Because we are a level-headed country who knows right from wrong.
Right. We would weed them out with a sniper rifle.
Yes.
After he's exiting.
All right, let's back up. Let's back up. But no, like, the police officers are sworn to protect and serve.
Yeah.
And there's no extra addendum on that. It's not protect and serve white people.
It like, shouldn't be, but.
But yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's an asterisk there somewhere.
There's, yeah, in certain states, counties, there's probably an asterisk. Protect and serve white people. And it's terrible. It's really terrible.
But what's the point? What's the point of even talking about it? People more powerful than us have tried to stop this or tried to create awareness. I mean,
significant steps have been made in the correct direction, like the body camera thing, except for, like I said, I'm not positive it's North Carolina, but I know there was a state.
Whichever state it is, that can't happen.
That can't.
All of these things should be public record.
That has to be public record.
Yeah. It's,
otherwise, there's no point.
Even if you would say, well, maybe with like the Freedom of Information Act or something like that, they could request that info and then get it. Maybe it doesn't have to be put out for everybody, but certain parties could get a hold of it if that is required in legal proceedings or something like that. But as someone that has studied UFO documentation since the early 1900s, even the Freedom of Information Act, you'll be amazed how much of that is blacked out.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, here's all the info you need. 90% of it's blacked out. So what are you seeing exactly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows what they will edit and put together?
Right. Like now that, yeah, you need to have raw footage as public record.
Absolutely.
For every arrest.
Yes.
Like that has to be a thing for any time, like, you know, taser, like any time any kind of paperwork has to be filled out for anything, there has to be, the body cam with it. That has to be public record.
Agreed.
Nope. Cannot make it part of a private personnel file.
Can't be an underground tape.
Just shady and creepy.
Yep. Right, I mean, it defeats the purpose entirely.
Let's do happy things.
Yes.
Let's switch up. We got about 30 minutes left. Let's devote the next 30 minutes to what Lindsay was led to believe we would talk about.
Pokemon?
We do this to her every time.
Uh-huh.
We'll tell her, okay, yeah, here.
We're gonna do fun, goofy, nerdy stuff, and oh, look, it's politics, and the world sucks.
We're going to talk about Pokemon tonight. We're going to talk about the new Pokemon, and then it's just like dead babies.
That's a new Pokemon.
Please.
No!
It's a pile of dead babies.
No.
Oh, my God.
Please, no.
Oh, my
no.
God.
No.
It's Ghostbusters.
Ghosts, but the babies are ghosts.
No. Stop.
There's 69 babies in that pile.
Holy shit.
Stop it. Stop it.
That's a lot of babies.
It's a lot of dead babies.
Please stop. Please, Ghostbusters. So I thought the movie was really funny.
I enjoyed it. I laughed enough that my face hurt by the time the movie was done.
All right, spoiler alert. If you guys haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, and I'm speaking mostly to Hunter and Asa.
Stop now,
because we're going to get spoiled. I mean, there's much to spoil,
before they tune out. Let's just go ahead and give...
You have a rating system that you do on
Nerd Up. I do have a rating system that I do on Nerd Up.
I've never got to do it. I want to be a part of it.
Okay, so now...
He had to explain it to me on Sunday.
All right, and I'll go ahead and explain it, because I'm pretty sure Ethan's also never heard it.
Okay.
So,
kind of did.
Basically, this is the way the rating system works, and it's because I hate that stupid arbitrary out of 10 scale.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
No.
It's silly. Because
I've seen 5 out of 10 movies that I really liked.
Right.
And I would go see. I've seen great movies that I've only wanted to see once.
Yep. So, yeah. This rating system is much less arbitrary, much more informational, better stuff.
Good.
So you have full price.
Yeah.
So like as in you'd pay full price to see this movie at any time, like at any theater.
Okay.
Then you have matinee. So as in, and that counts for like, you know, the $6 Tuesdays, etc. Like you'd see it in theaters, but you know, you wouldn't
discount.
Pay full price for it. Discount.
Yeah.
Discount theater. Then you have rental, and then you have skip it. And that's the scale.
That is a good scale.
Yeah.
Now, can we put in between rental and skip it, TV, cable TV? Because what if I don't want to pay for the movie, but if it's on, I'll catch it?
If you have that option.
I feel like that's just...
That's waiting too long?
That's one of those. I don't know if I like that that in there.
Now below that, can we add? Well, it's on in the background, but I'm but I'm doing stuff.
Also, my way of watching movies.
Yeah,
I'll watch like it while playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, we have like the lowest possible one. Be like, I seen it on display at a rental theater.
I saw it at the store. Chose not to take part in it.
Let's just stick with the four levels.
Had to pick between watching it or Bigfoot's in America. What was that show called? Mountain Monsters. And I chose Huckleberry.
So, all right, well, Shannon, we'll go ahead and start with you. On that scale, what do you give it?
Full price. I saw it twice for full price. I paid for four tickets over the course of the 2 days. Do the math.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money I devoted to Ghostbusters.
That's $50 on Ghostbusters right there.
And I'm not ashamed to say I loved every second of it. Well, we're going to talk more about it, right? This is just the beginning.
Yeah, this is the non-spoiler review section.
Okay. As a Ghostbusters fan, let me just say, as one of the two big Ghostbusters fans amongst our group, me and Hunter, and then, you know, there are people that really love it, like Lindsay. Jesse, I know you're a big fan of Ghostbusters. And then, you know, people that have kind of watched it, Cody,
Yeah, from what I understand, though, he hasn't seen the second one.
He hasn't seen the second one. I think he saw the first one, but I think he saw it on TV.
Yeah.
It was edited for content.
Just in, you know, he was watching it while playing a sports game or something.
Yeah.
He's had a background.
So as a huge Ghostbusters fan and one of the people that was worried about what they were going to do to the legacy, I can safely say that I watched it. It did not ruin my childhood. It did not make me like the previous ones any less. And I loved this movie for what it was. I will pay to see it again. I loved it that much. Full price for me.
All right, Lindsay?
I'm going to agree on the full price. Like, I have a lot of movies that I'm like, did we really spend this on this?
Like Full Metal Alchemist.
Don't Ooh. Remind me about
you don't like
that.
Full Metal Alchemist.
You did not watch the second star, movie in
the
theaters.
Star of Milos. They had, like,
oh,
it was actually
I'm
in Werenberg.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Sweet baby.
That movie was in theaters. Me, Lindsay, and Krista were super excited about it.
We were super pissed within 20 minutes.
We were.
Let me just state, though, real quick. While you guys did that, I stayed at home because I have no interest in it. And Bob and I sat in my room on my bed and watched the most god-awful movie. It was a sci-fi movie about, I think, the Mothman. Not the one with Richard Gere. That movie's good. This was just called, like, Mothman, and it was horrible.
Mothman in space.
Right, so I got bad treatment, too.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll get back on top of you. Ethan, on that scale.
I'm kind of in between the, like, full... I went to go see it for full price, but I'm also going to see it again as a matinee. So...
This is where, like,
your original
were you upset about seeing it full price? Do you think you would have rather just gone matinee?
Oh, not at all.
Would you recommend the movie at full price?
Yes.
You would recommend everyone see the movie at full price.
Matinee, like, of course, even better because it's at a discount.
Right.
But,
yeah, no.
Yeah, full price, no shame. It was great. Had me laughing.
There
was maybe two or three jokes that I was like, come on, really?
There's one big one that I want to talk about. But
yeah, we'll get to that in
the
spoilers.
But like 90% of the jokes, they were always on par. It was great. One problem I did kind of have with it is that I did kind of notice like a pattern with the jokes. Is that like they would all just kind of like the movie
easy,
would be
remember,
going,
no spoilers.
But there would be sections where it would just kind of like stop.
There'd be sections where there were no jokes, Jesse.
Well, no.
It's almost like there was a...
No,
it
movie,
wasn't a full comedy.
The movie stopped for the joke.
Oh,
and the
yeah,
joke was really good.
Well, sometimes. Yeah. What about you, Jesse?
All right. I'd probably give it a matinee. It's worth seeing for a matinee, for sure. I am not upset that I paid full price to see this movie. I don't think anybody would be upset to pay full price for this movie, but at the very least...
Some people would.
At the very least, you need to catch a matinee. Like, it's worth seeing in theaters.
Because you saw it with me and Lindsay last week.
I did.
We actually skipped this show last week to go watch
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Because I was going to go watch it on Friday twice, the same day. But then Lindsay said, hey, Ghostbusters opens tonight. Here's the times. And I sat there and I thought, oh, I can wait till tomorrow. But I couldn't.
Because oh, you.
I wanted to see it that badly.
I wanted to see it. Usually I'm the one like, record. No, movie.
Okay, so that's the spoiler-free section.
Well, after you
have some thoughts, though.
I had some thoughts.
Give me some thoughts.
I had some thoughts. Okay, no.
Give me some thoughts, baby.
I'll throw it out there. I liked it more than Ghostbusters 2.
Oh!
I'm just gonna say that now.
I know.
I'm not expecting anyone to agree with me.
I'm sorry.
Not expecting anyone to agree with me. I liked it more than Ghostbusters 2.
I'll say I liked it as much as Ghostbusters 2.
I can't.
I mean, it's one of those things, though. It's difficult to compare, though. I mean, it's a different kind of movie. Like, Ghostbusters, the first two Ghostbusters movies were very much designed to be horror movies that were funny. Like, that's just what they were. This movie is a comedy that's had some, like, had a little bit of horror to it.
See, I,
like, had some creepy elements. And it's one of those things, like, it's not, that didn't make it bad, that didn't make it worse than the other movies, it just made it different. I thought this was a cool take on the film. It did not destroy my childhood in any way. The one thing that I guess everybody seems to keep forgetting is that no matter what you think of this movie, the first two are still there.
Yeah. They didn't stop existing.
They did not stop existing. They didn't pull a Star Wars and go back and replace characters.
They replaced all the original characters with the four women from this movie.
Cause I was, you know, like, I'm in the camp weird. That I'm really upset to see Hayden Christensen in Episode 6.
Yeah.
Like, they did not do anything to our original two movies. They're still there.
Not like Hayden.
and the other thing about this movie, I'm really, really tired of all of the reviews that have come out for it from people that haven't seen it. Because
They reviewed it before the movie came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some people that got, you know, early viewings and stuff like that.
Oh, no, I'm saying they reviewed it before the movie even hit theaters at all. Like, people had reviewed this film before it ever even had a chance.
Just by the trailers.
Just by the cast.
Yeah, as soon as they announced an all-female cast, there were people that were, there were two camps. There are two camps of reviewers right now for this that are on the opposite sides. Some people are calling it, like, the greatest piece of cinema to ever hit the screen. Other people are saying it's the flaming dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's literally, you see it one way or the other. There's very minimal middle ground.
Well, see, the thing is, like, I believe there is middle ground, but the two people in these opposite camps, none of them have actually seen the film. That's the face. Like,
I feel like anyone that's seen this film had to at least get some value from it.
Yeah,
and let's just, all right, there might be spoilers ahead.
All right, so yeah, now we are officially leaving the spoiler-free review section. Yeah,
let's get into the spoilers themselves.
Have a good night, Asa.
Yeah, see you, Hunter. No, Hunter's still listening. Don't worry. The people that have actually seen this film had to have at least gotten some kind of enjoyment from it, because if you went into this movie even hating it and didn't get enjoyment from it, you're just looking for a reason to hate it.
Yeah.
You went in there with a specific desire to dislike this film, and nothing was going to change your mind. So why'd you see it in the first place? You said you went in to give it a fair chance, but you didn't. You went in because you just wanted to hate it. You found every single thing about it to hate. You didn't give any credit to some of the... If you can't get enjoyment out of this, the Chris Hemsworth character, Kevin, was by far one of the funniest things I've ever seen in movies. The way he played the straight-laced dimwit was so
amazing.
Good.
Oh. Like, honestly, yeah, Chris Hemsworth, just his performance was... And it, like, I don't even necessarily think it was the best performance in the film.
It wasn't the best performance, but it was definitely the funniest.
Oh, it was.
Because he wasn't even trying to be funny. Like, there was
he was just being dumb.
But, and I mean, you know, that's the first time that Chris Hemsworth has ever gotten a chance to do anything like that. In every other role he's been in any movie, he's always like the serious, straight-laced, tough hero. Because if you look at the man,
yeah,
there's no one else he could possibly be.
Well, he got to
except
use his,
Kevin.
He got to use his own accent.
Yeah, they let him use his accent.
Yes.
I mean, there were little things that wouldn't be funny normally, but I laughed so hard. Like when he said, which one makes me look more like a doctor? The picture where I'm playing the saxophone or listening to it.
And there's a picture of him up against his ear.
One picture is him shirtless playing it. The other picture is him shirtless with it up to his ear.
I completely, like, you've heard me, like, laugh.
I have.
Like, get... Like,
loud laugh.
Yes. I did that in the theater when he said the phrase, you know, aquarium.
Aquariums are submarines for fish.
I
love that quote.
That line just, and the delivery, it broke me.
I also really liked the, that's really loud, he says while putting his hands over his eyes.
I love when they say, like, go over there, we're gonna talk, don't listen. He's like, okay.
He covers his eyes.
He
was so, and normally, it's so easy to play the dimwit that doesn't know what they're doing, but he did it straight-laced and funny. His delivery was amazing.
Oh, it
was
so great.
I hate dance sequences in films. One of the reasons I hate Pixar movies and Disney movies is a lot of times they have a dumbass dance
excuse
sequence.
Excuse me, DreamWorks. Not Disney and Pixar, DreamWorks.
You're saying Pixar doesn't have dance sequences
in
their films?
Not the way DreamWorks does.
Okay, well, let's say DreamWorks. You know what I'm saying. There's a dance sequence at the end of this movie. earlier in the movie, there's a part where Kevin, who is possessed, this is spoilers now, and he freezes all of the people that the cops and the military, and he freezes them in a dance pose. And that's it. There's
they
no follow up. Yeah. And we all thought, oh,
they're
going to make him dance. There's no dance. The movie goes on. And then at the very end, in the end credits, there's that scene of him, of Chris Hemsworth dancing while everyone else dances with him. And it is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I felt like Stephanie. I'm like, this brings me joy in ways that I haven't felt joy in so long. It's so much fun.
And it made their ending credits good. Like you, yeah. there was not a single part of the credits where it was just credits rolling.
There was
something
interesting.
Going on the whole time.
There were more pictures of Kevin.
More pictures for his resume.
Yeah. I love the idea.
Shirtless in everyone.
Every single. And wouldn't you?
Yes. Exactly. Kevin is best Hispando. I'll say that.
Now, it's not just the laughs that got me, though. Like, because Jess, you said earlier that the original Ghostbusters you felt was a horror movie that had comedy. One of the things I loved about Ghostbusters, I disagree with that because I think Ghostbusters is so unique, I can't classify it. It's not quite scary. It's not quite all comedy. It truly is a mixture of it. I haven't seen something like that since, I'd say, Tucker and Dale, but even Tucker and Dale leans more toward comedy.
Because there's no real danger in it at any point. And that's the thing that you got in Ghostbusters. Like, there were moments that were genuinely scary.
Yeah.
And, like, you had moments, like, where the characters were in, like, real peril and other stuff. But it seemed like we were in on the joke, but they weren't. And that's the kind of comedy it was.
And the new Ghostbusters movie kind of continued that. And what I loved about it is it continued that same feeling I had. The opening sequence with the Aldridge Mansion.
That was really good.
When
he soiled himself real bad.
And even in the opening, they still had, like, it was creepy later on after a good couple jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just good. The Aldridge Mansion setup was so good. To me, it's just as good as the first movie with the librarian. It was better than the second movie with the baby stroller in the street. The Aldridge Mansion goes down as one of my favorite moments in that movie because I thought it was legitimately creepy. The ghosts, I know everyone gave the ghost shit when they previewed it, but I thought the ghosts looked fantastic.
I thought all of the ghosts looked really good.
They really did.
And they looked a little bit different in the film itself
than
what it did in the
previews. They weren't as blue. They weren't as Scooby-Doo-ish.
Like, almost like in the trailer, they were still going through the rendering process, almost.
Yeah.
Like, the movie did a good job for me. When I seen that ghost, I thought that was the main antagonist at first.
Gertrude and Aldridge.
Because it had, like, a
she
good
had the
backstory.
Yeah.
That was, like, the only kind of ghost that really did get a backstory.
That's
other
what
than
I
the...
liked on that first one, too, is they put it up as the, oh, we're making you think this place is haunted.
Oh, and it was a setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was playing it off that it was haunted. And it made sense why the ghosts were there. Rowan has machines that's amplifying the ghosts that bring them out. So even though there were rumblings of a haunting, now the ghost is right there and it's super powered.
Right.
Even the ghosts that we all cringed at in the trailer, like Slimer is in it. I didn't want Slimer to be in it. Why is Slimer in it?
He was barely in it.
He was barely in it, and he was funny. The part where he's riding down the street with the female Slimer and the ghosts are hanging off of it partying, I laughed. I thought it was funny.
I like the subtle little... To me, that's subtle. But like when the car explodes at the end and it does that thing where you see them flying towards the camera and they're all... And
Slimer getting closer
and
to the mic.
Slimer are both like terrified. And then they go back down and that... terror just kind of turns into joy.
They
like,
smile.
Ah!
It was a roller coaster for them.
Yeah. And I thought that was funny.
And I don't know. Everything that I had a problem with in the trailer, except for, the spoiler about, like, Kevin getting possessed, like, everything else that I had a problem with in the trailer worked out in the movie.
Yeah.
There was context.
Yeah, there
except
was.
Except for the proton pass to the balls.
Yeah, that was... Was that in the trailer? Because I don't remember seeing that
in
the
trailer.
It was
in the last trailer they ever released. Because that's the one that Hunter and I saw and went, no. This is the first time I feel bad about it.
Okay, because I didn't actually watch that trailer. I refused to watch any more trailers of the movie.
I'm pretty sure you told us not to watch
that trailer. At least they followed it up with kind of a funny joke where Leslie Jones said, that's where you wanted us to aim, right? And she goes, yes, of course. So it was still funny.
That was.
Like, it just didn't make sense of why the ghost was getting... Why it hurt more in his ghost testicles that he didn't have versus anywhere else.
Because the idea was really just to hurt him so he would, like, let go.
Yeah. Let go of the building so they could suck him back into the portal.
Which I thought they were just going to blow his arms off.
That's what I said, too,
you know.
Because they opened that up with, let's loosen his grip. Uh-huh. So I thought, oh, okay, they're going to shoot his hand. Oh, boo!
But it's still the director of Bridesmaids, so...
I actually liked Bridesmaids a lot.
I do too.
I still never watched it.
It's pretty great.
Can we briefly discuss, like, the 2D hand-drawn animation?
For Rowan? When he turns into the logo ghost? Yeah.
That was... that was perfect.
The setup for the logo ghost was great.
They needed a moment like the first Ghostbusters where they ask, you know...
They needed the Stay Puft moment.
Yeah, choose the Destroyer. And they did something similar. They asked, you know, what would you like? Rowan asks, because he's so powerful. And, you know, Leslie Jones says something cute and friendly. So he turns into the logo ghost. Because this toy had been out for a while, and everyone saw that the logo ghost was going to be a bad guy. And I thought, how the hell is the logo ghost a bad guy? Well, this is how. He literally turns into their logo, and then the little red turns into a little bow tie. And then she's like, yeah, that's good. And then he progressively gets bigger and more realistic. Yeah.
They did a good
job.
Oh,
he's really running with this.
And then, like, they run away. They hide behind a building. And Leslie Jones, she's just like, that is not the thing we agreed on.
Sassy black woman.
Yeah.
Sassy black woman.
By the way, Leslie Jones, she was like one of my favorite things about that movie.
We'll get to Leslie Jones in a second. Yeah. You calm down,
there's
Tiger.
There's a lot of stuff we need to talk about with Leslie Jones. And that sounds like we're upset about it.
No.
And I'm not upset about Leslie Jones' performance.
No.
I was obsessed about...
I'm upset about the BS on the internet.
Yes.
Well, the reactions.
We'll get to that, too. Yeah. But first, I think it's fair. We're heaping a lot of praise on the movie. Like, but don't get me wrong. This is not... as good as Ghostbusters. This is not as good as the first Ghostbusters to me. It's not as good as Ghostbusters 2 either. Ghostbusters 1 and 2 are classics, and maybe that's the nostalgia talking, but every little joke, especially in the first Ghostbusters, every single joke hit right. Every single one seemed genuine. This Ghostbusters, there were a lot of jokes that felt forced. There was a lot of dialogue that felt forced.
Because of the ad-libbing.
Well, there was plenty of times that it just felt like, okay, this is a movie. I remember this is a movie. The part where they're upset because they're being portrayed as frauds. And Leslie Jones says, now we all know what it's like to be Ghost Girl. They forced so much of that in there, and it felt forced.
See, I didn't think that felt forced at all. Like,
felt completely forced to me.
The only thing that really felt forced to me was, and the only thing that I had a problem with, was the logo ghost getting shot in the nuts. Like, that was...
And the EMP fart joke. Wasn't it?
Oh, actually, I thought that was pretty funny.
It was funny, but it was a little
I thought it was funnier when Kate McKinnon asked, would it be more disgusting if I told you it came from the front?
There was...
That's when the joke went from a bad joke to a, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's vulgar.
I mean, that wasn't the original vulgar. Ghostbusters also kind of that way?
No.
No.
Ghost blowjob.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the first Ghostbusters, the first two movies had some vulgar moments too.
The first, well, to be, I don't know how to, yeah, I can't defend the ghost blowjob from the first movie. I still don't understand that. As far as I know, it was portrayed as a dream sequence.
That's
but
what
it,
I believe.
It but was it wasn't originally.
I mean, well, it's the way it was re-edited.
It re-edited, yes, but in the original they went to the Civil War area and he literally got oral sex from a ghost. So
How does that even make sense?
It doesn't. That was the one part of the first Ghostbusters movie that anytime someone says this movie has something ridiculous, I think, well, what about when Dan Aykroyd got oral sex from a ghost? Justify that. Well, it's an 80s comedy.
Yeah, touché. And I mean, and that's the thing though. You can't just like defend something with, well, it was a comedy in the 80s. Like they both have their different stuff. Like they both have their ridiculous moments. I just really wish they didn't shoot the big ghost in the nuts.
This is a more modern comedy.
This has more modern technology in it. Like,
well, yeah, but the humor is more modern. It's faster paced. There's not enough time in between the laughs. That's one thing that I didn't like. Even though I did laugh, the first Ghostbusters, go back and watch it. The pacing of the first Ghostbusters is fantastic throughout.
And see,
it makes sense. This one, the entire third act is rushed.
And
I'll
think that's part of the whole idea that the first movie was a horror movie that had comedy. And like I said, they weren't in on the joke. It was very much in this one, the actresses, is particularly in the dialogue that could have been in literally any movie, was just like anytime you had three of them talking or the four of them talking, they were just doing basically like ad-lib dialogue that was funny and didn't necessarily have anything to do with Ghostbusters.
And that's what I meant when I said that it kind of feels like the movie would stop. That's what I was referring to, is like the ad-libbing moments.
Yeah, and I mean, I still liked those. I thought those were
too
funny. And it was just one of those things, like it wasn't necessary to the plot of the movie or anything along those lines. It was just funny.
It was witty. It was funny dialogue.
Yeah.
This movie is funnier than the first Ghostbusters.
Right.
But the movie itself is not as good.
Because like I said, I feel like they inverted the properties a little bit. This is a comedy film that has some horror elements to it versus the other movies that were horror films with comedy elements.
You can't say, and you can't compare though, that this group of actresses has the same chemistry as the first group of actors. The team of Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, to a lesser extent, and Bill Murray, you can't match that. And these guys were funny, but like I said, there were so many times I felt like it was forced. Like I could tell they put them together for this movie, and maybe it's the nostalgia talking, but the first Ghostbusters, it felt like that was so natural. I believe that was a team.
See, and I actually feel that way with these women. Like, I think, because they've been on SNL together for years.
They have.
It's they've just done several movies together, and I thought their chemistry was great. Leslie Jones, not so much, in the same way that Ernie Hudson have the same chemistry.
She was tacked on, like Ernie Hudson was tacked on. The only difference was, it made to me more sense that Ernie Hudson was tacked on in the sense that we're getting busy, we need more employees, here's an everyman that doesn't believe in this stuff, that takes the job because he wants money. Versus Leslie Jones, whose character was, I saw a ghost, I know the town, I want to be a part of this.
Because here's a hearse.
Her whole, I know this town, sounded great until you realize that it played no part in it except for one scene at the end of the movie where she tells him how the hotel was the site of all of these terrible things that happened.
That was also a fairly critical moment though. Like,
they could have done that part without her.
With the first ghost, how she mentioned that like, oh, the ghost itself is like, electricity because he got electrocuted.
Prison.
Yeah, right. I mean, like,
that made sense too.
It
made
sense, interesting background information because it wasn't so much that she knew the streets. Like, she seemed to know the history of several buildings in New York, when I saw it in the trailer, like, I was kind of upset about that. Okay, cool. You got a streetwise black girl, but that's not the case.
No, she's like, into the whole history nonfiction stuff. Like, she made a point to bring
it
up.
Had no bearing on the movie though.
It absolutely did.
It had no bearing on the movie.
They put the reason that the ghost stuff was so strong in the subway was because it was underneath a facility where they executed inmates.
But what did that add to it? What did that add to it? They already had the machine there. It amplified. If they didn't know that there was a place up there that electrocuted people, the ghost would still be there. The end scene where she says, well, this hotel had all these crazy things, so it's going to be whatever. But they looked at the map. There was already an X pointing at that exact spot. That exposition was not needed. See, she was more unnecessary as a character than Ernie Hudson was in the first movie, because his character in the first movie was, I'm an employee, hear me shoot beam.
I don't know. It was cool to get the history of it though. Like, it made it more interesting. Like, it gave us a reason that weird stuff has happened there. I don't know. I liked it.
I liked it too. I know it sounded like I didn't like the movie. I loved the movie. I really did.
You're just showing the bad parts along with the good parts.
Yeah, that's one of the things about being a critic is that you show the good and the bad. Yeah. If you love something, you're not afraid to point out its flaws.
Well, no. Yes. I agree, and I've pointed out other flaws. It's just I don't necessarily agree that that's a flaw.
We find different flaws.
Yeah.
And that's the part of a group.
It's back and forth.
I don't know if this is necessarily a flaw, but more of a complaint that I had. Other than the main villain himself.
Rowan.
Yes. He's bland.
I think that was the point of his character, though. That he was just...
I thought it was really clever, though, how he actually killed himself to become a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought...
It was a cool little plot twist.
It had me being like, wait, why did he do... Oh!
Yeah, I mean, that's what was great about Rowan, is that he wasn't Gozer. He wasn't the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He wasn't Viggo the Carpathian. He wasn't an evil entity that, you know, you should be afraid of. He was just a guy.
He was just an obsessive dude.
Yeah, who was into the paranormal, who felt slighted, and devised a plan to wreak revenge. It's an old plot. It's a standard plot, but he did a really good job at it, I thought.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie played their parts well.
Because, he was supposed to just be, the creepy guy, if I knew that guy in real life, I would never talk to him either.
You do know that guy in real life. He comes in, he writes comics for us.
I don't talk to him. For the same reason I wouldn't talk to Rowan.
You'll talk to him when he brings up with a fourth cataclysm.
I think the word you're looking for is apocalypse.
And that's actually one of the jokes that I thought fell flat. When they said the fourth cataclysm and Leslie Jones says something to the extent of, it sounds like a brand nobody ever wanted. Or something like that. Like, there were so many jokes in this movie. That's the one thing I didn't like. Ghostbusters 1 and 2, they picked their moments for jokes. There were setups they picked. There weren't as many jokes. That's why these movies are funnier than the previous ones. But this one had so many jokes. They're just throwing darts at the wall and seeing what sticks. And most of them stuck, but the ones that didn't fell really flat. And that's why I can't give this a perfect score. But goddamn, if you didn't enjoy this film, you have no soul.
Yeah, that goes back to another thing, back to the rating scale. It doesn't have to be, an Inception or, any sort of a deep, good, well-written movie for you to enjoy it.
Yeah, I like Street Fighter.
It has to be enjoyable.
Right.
Yeah,
I like Street Fighter.
Like, it seems like people just
I like
can't.
Mario Brothers.
People need everything to be Citizen Kane in order to, like,
I like Kingdom Hearts.
To give a good movie, or to give a movie a good review, or to have to see a movie. Like, it doesn't, not every movie has to be just a masterpiece to enjoy it.
That's, you know what that's called? That's called having an opinion of your own. That's why everyone always gave me shit about Dynasty Warriors. I stand by it. I enjoy Dynasty. Not every game has to be Final Fantasy VII. I can press square and triangle over and over again and have a good time.
I mean, I've backed you up on that before. Sometimes I really, really like to just turn off my brain and kill thousands and thousands of NPCs.
And there's
nothing
wrong
with... You pretty
much
wipe out the entirety of China.
You really do. And I mean, like, I can't get on it for any more than 15 minutes. And yes, I know, Ethan, it's really hard to get a word in edgewise with me and Shannon.
I apologize.
You should! You son of a bitch. Your name's not on the lease.
My name's barely on the cast list.
Oh, that's not true. You're not the dead last. Is he?
I'm like second to last.
Who's last?
Steven, maybe?
I thought
Steven
it was
still on there?
I thought it was CJ, me, then Steven.
No,
was
I think
at top.
CJ's been removed at this point. I think Steven's still there. We'll have to double check. We're getting out of time. We're out of time. We could talk about Ghostbusters more and more. I'd love to. But real quick, before we do, we kind of danced around the Leslie Jones thing. Let's talk about that just real quick. There's a guy who got banned from Twitter, and I'm not going to say his name, one, because I don't remember it, two, because he's a piece of garbage, but he is an internet personality, like so many of them are, great internet personalities, who attacked Leslie Jones. Lots of people have been attacking. You thought they were going to go after Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy's fat. Get it?
No.
That's the joke.
But she's funny.
You know, retroactive point. I really, 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 really like what they did with Melissa McCarthy's character in this movie.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was
they
really
did not
enjoyable.
Make her like the every character joke. That even like every other movie that Paul Feig has done with
Feig.
Are you sure?
No.
Either way, every other movie that he's done, like she's been the same character.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad they did something different with her in this movie.
I am too. It helped the plot. And yeah. Kate McKinnon
stole the show.
Well, see, I thought Kate McKinnon was going to steal the show, and then I met Chris Hemsworth.
They both did. The two of them.
Yeah, the two
was,
of them
yeah,
really
no.
did.
It was a real struggle.
Anytime they were on screen, it was just gold.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the cameos were also solid.
Yes they were.
Every six of them.
The statue bust made me, like, shed a tear.
The bust of Harold Ramis in the beginning also made me, you know, the first time I watched it, I just laughed. And with you guys, and then I went and saw it again the next day, and there were more parts where I actually teared up a little bit. Like hearing the song in the beginning, when they play the Ghostbusters theme, the Harold Ramis bust, the end credits, like there was so much of it that there's certain times that it just brings me back to that part of me that's not so melodramatic or depressing, that just enjoys stuff. And this movie brought that out of me, and God, it just made me so happy that I shed a little tear. But anyway, that's, nice story. Where'd you get it from? No, Ethan?
The story store.
There you go.
But the story store. It also sells stores
So Leslie Jones got attacked on the internet for being black.
Yep. For ruining the movie. She was the worst part of the movie.
No.
Lies.
She wasn't my favorite part of the movie, but I don't think she was as bad as we feared. But even if you don't like her performance in the movie, this piece of shit on Twitter, again, I don't remember his name, he has just tormented her, and I think the final straw, because she quit Twitter over this.
Yep.
She posted all these terrible things people were saying about her. The one that got me was he said, this isn't even the first Ghostbusters movie that had an ape in it. And there was a picture from the original Ghostbusters, the stupid cartoon, the live action movie they did of it, where it's the two guys and there's a gorilla behind it. And yeah, he said this wasn't even the first Ghostbusters with an ape in it, so you're not that original. There was also someone that sent her a picture of the gorilla that they killed that had the kid. And it said, I know you were just trying to protect the kid, this and that. And really?
People are trash.
Jesus.
I wanted to do a show about how much I hate people on the internet because I fucking hate people on the internet. I really do. Most of the people that listen to our show and that get online are good people. But the most outspoken people on the internet generally are just the rudest, most worthless assholes that if you ever saw them in real life would buckle so quickly under fear that it would really surprise you that someone could pussy out that fast. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm not going to go there. I got some Dalton jokes, but I don't want to make them.
Good.
That guy's having a hard time enough as it is.
Yeah, and you gave him an even harder time at the beginning. But I do want to clarify that I don't believe Leslie Jones is the worst part of the movie, because I don't know if that was clear in my statement before. Yeah. I was making fun of the Twitter people.
Yeah, and anybody that would attack someone, and not even attack her for a performance, but just for being black, and then you don't want to say we don't have a race problem, a racism problem in America.
Anybody that doesn't think we have a race problem in America is fooling themselves.
You're ridiculous, or you're a Republican.
They're living
or
under they a are big, a racist. Heavy yeah. rock.
Yeah.
The biggest of rocks.
They banned this guy.
Patrick Star.
They banned this guy from Twitter. They banned him from Twitter, and now there's petitions going around to get him reinstated saying that his First Amendment rights were violated.
That's not the same. Twitter can do whatever they want. They're a private corporation. You do not have the same rights on Twitter that you do in the rest of the world.
Agreed.
Not only that, but Jesus Christ, we need to bring some humanity back to humanity.
Please?
That's really true. Like, if you can't be a decent human being, then no, you don't have the right to use this private corporation's. It might be a public corporation, but unless they have stock in it, then they ain't got nothing.
If that's your contribution to society, is to make fun of someone and call them an ape for being black,
get a life.
You really don't deserve to have your opinion spoken. Just like certain people really shouldn't probably procreate.
But they do anyways.
Many times.
Yep.
Many times.
Yep.
All right, we can talk about this forever. We got to go. We're out of time here. Ethan, Jesse, Lindsay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do want to add one last thing on Ghostbusters.
Oh, please do.
Just one last thing on Ghostbusters. I just want to say, give the movie a chance. If you haven't seen it, keep your mouth shut about it, Louie.
Oh, no. Snap.
Good night.
Oh, wait. Can I?
No, he said good night. Shut up.
But I wanted to close the thing with the thing.
All right, go ahead.